Well, happy Thursday and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone lines, and the internet connectivity that keeps us all together in this modern day and time. 414-1234 is the local phone number. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance twixt you and us. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, and you can send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Well, you probably heard, and if you've been a parent and or teacher, definitely seen firsthand how very young kids are like little sponges. You've heard that term before, right? They kind of soak up every experience that they encounter, and that makes those early years so critical to what happens later in life. But for far too many kids, the experiences that they're exposed to are typically not all that great when it comes to creating a solid foundation for future learning and positive development and all that. So a group of folks in Tallahassee have come up with a concept based on what's been done successfully at one or two other places for a community school to give young kids and their parents more resources to make those experiences of the earliest years a lot richer and happier. So some of the project's major advocates are with us today, and we welcome them to the proceedings here on Perspectives, and of course your input as well. As we say hi, going around the table from my left to your right, Alisa Gasvini, Executive Director, Association of Early Learning Coalitions. 25 years you've been in this biz, Alisa.
At least that's how much I admit at this point.
I started out having a preschool a number of years ago, raised my own children in my preschool, and then moved on.
Oh, my gosh. So you talk about on the ground. This is not just theoretical stuff for you.
That's right.
Well, speaking of a theory
speaking
as well.
Speaking of preschools, is that what you're about to say?
Preschool, there we go. Yes, I think one of your former students is right beside you. No, it is Tallahassee City Commissioner Gil Ziffer, one of the what do we call Gil? Progenitors of this whole concept.
Yeah, right? Well, actually, other people inspired me to bring it up, so I'm just the person that's carrying it a little bit forward.
Okay, and a commission colleague of yours, and we will, in full disclosure, tell everyone that this was a publicly noticed meeting of a portion of the Tallahassee City Commission. Your colleague on that commission, Scott Maddox. Good to see you again, Scott.
Good morning. Great to see you, Tom.
What was your involvement in this? I know you also appeared before the school district to say, hey, this is a concept that you guys need to get behind, right?
Well, Commissioner Ziffer and I went to Evans High School. A constituent contacted Commissioner Ziffer on this issue, and he reached out to the other city commissioners. We went to Evans High School in Orlando to check out the success they had there with the community school. That led to me writing a My View in the Tallahassee Democrat, trying to push the issue here locally. It was Commissioner Ziffer that went before the school board to ask for their support, and he has been spearheading this issue. But it is really a great concept, and it is wonderful in its simplicity. And the simplicity is, why not offer all the services that we already offer for people today all in one place based on a school? Why don't we give a head start to children so that they come to the learning environment sated? They come to the learning environment not being hungry, not having a toothache, not having healthcare problems, not needing mental health counseling. And while we're at it, why don't we help their siblings and their parents and center everything around the school so that's the place to be? It's where they want to be. It's where they get their services and where they'll learn the most.
Well, let's talk about how does this work in Orlando, Gil, since it's kind of based on that concept.
Well, I'm gonna give an example just to give the audience a better flavor of what we mean by not only the student. Down in Orlando at Evans, they actually had a student that had been performing exceptionally well and started to decline, had a lot of problems. And grades were declining, attendance was declining. And they really didn't know what it was until somebody visited the home and found that, unfortunately, excuse me, the mom of the student in, I believe it was gunfire, was injured in a dispute with the child's father. And the young man, the child, unfortunately had to become the caregiver. And had to be the one that had to stay home more to be with mom, to take care of mom, to feed mom, to bathe mom. And this student clearly had not only some time issues but also some really mental health issues, because no child, 15, 16, 17-year-old, should really be put in a position to have to do that. And what they didn't realize is there are social service organizations that can help with the mom's needs. And so they were able to get in place that support mechanism, and the child came back to school and did exceptionally well, came back, and grades were back to normal. But the point is, there are so many times we have young people that have seen things or been aware of things or have been part of things that no child should have to go through. And until we can help with mental health issues and, as Scott said, about food issues and health issues for not only the child but also the family or neighbors or friends, we really can't put a child in a place where they can learn, because they've got to go to school ready to learn. And if they have an aching stomach or they have a problem at home, they can't do that. Evans High School, we visited it. Remarkable, and it's a different situation because they had a brand new campus and it was a high school. We're not looking at a high school here, but just to give an idea, the population in 5 years, first of all, the school went from an F school to a B school. Student population of 1,600 to over 2,400. Graduation rate of less than 50% to over 83%. Just phenomenal numbers, and you can't put it all on these things we're talking about, but you can put a lot. The other thing that was interesting was, because the parents and friends started to go to the school for other reasons other than education, they started to be engaged with their child's education. In other words, they would go to the school campus for health care, and they started to be engaged with their child's education or helping in the school. And Evans is in an area where the crime rate's exceptionally high, very dangerous place for children to walk home. And so through volunteers, teachers, family members, friends of the school, started to build a safety network around the school before and after school, and it grew to the point where they had people on street corners. So children could then go to school and feel comfortable walking to school or walking home. And that was all basically homegrown. That was not anything they expected. So really good things are happening in that school. This is different. We're talking about basically birth through third grade eventually. That's not a high school. But quite frankly, I'm going to let you talk about it, early learning. Unless these kids come to school equipped, they're going to have a very difficult time catching up with other ones that are equipped.
Well, the entire city of Tallahassee just recently had a week-long emphasis on early learning and early development. And Elisa Gasvini, that being your bailiwick there, how critical is this time, especially looking in the context of the community school proposal where it would be kind of K through 3?
It's absolutely critical. We now know that a lot of the adult issues that we struggle with as communities, substance abuse, domestic violence, mental health issues, that they really begin with toxic stress in childhood. And the early childhood years offer such a window of brain plasticity. It's the opportunity for hardwiring a foundation for lifelong success. There's 700 neural pathways that are created every second during the early childhood years. And the experiences and the relationships that that young child has are absolutely essential to that brain development. And so we want to make sure that all the adults in a child's life know how important it is, that we talk with kids, that we have warm relationships, that we do this serve and return. We talk, we listen, we respond to the child. It's just fascinating research. We now know that by 18 months of age, that we can identify children that are not going to be reading on grade level by third grade. By 18 months of age, we see disparities in advantaged children, between advantaged children and disadvantaged children, in vocabulary and language processing. We also know that the more risk factors that add up in a child's life, the greater they are going to have potential for developmental delays. You put 6 or 7 risk factors in a child's life: poverty, mother has low education levels, there's a mental illness in the family, there's substance abuse. You keep adding those up, and you get 6 or 7 of those, and you have a 90 to 100% chance of having a developmental delay in that young child. So this is absolutely critical what we're doing.
I'll give you a real life example, Tom. My wife, my mother and wife are both teachers, and my wife taught in an elementary school, and there was a little girl in her class that was smart and could do the work but slept all the time. And she kept saying, honey, you got to wake up. You got to focus on this. You got to wake up. She finally went and looked in her file. She it was new to that class, so didn't know, went and looked in the file and found out she was homeless. So she's not sleeping at night. And this happens all the time in the capital city of the third largest state in the nation. We have children that go to bed hungry and wake up hungry. We have children that don't get proper medical health care. And we have children that don't have a place to sleep at night. Both Commissioner Ziffer and I are doing a sleep-in tonight in cardboard boxes to draw attention to that. But even from – if you're not inspired by the human element of that, which of course I am and I think everyone around this table is, if you're not inspired by that from a business perspective, from an economic development perspective, from a futuristic perspective of if we are going to compete in a global marketplace, if we are going to have the workforce that we want to have in Tallahassee, if we're going to have lower crime, if we're going to have better economic development, this is where our dollars should be spent. This is the focus point. This is the tip of the spear where it makes a difference. It doesn't make a difference. It's a lot harder to deal with problems at the other end of the spectrum. For every child that you save at this age and give them real hope and real opportunity to be a contributing member of society, that's one less that's climbing in a window and stealing a television set or ends up homeless or ends up addicted. So for fiscal conservatives, this is a great issue.
The other thing that I just want to briefly mention and you were referring to children at a very early age. It's also prenatal care. You know, if a child is not – a mom is not getting good prenatal care, then the chances of that child being born into a situation where they're healthy enough where they can start to grow and be able to achieve a lot of the things we look for in our young children, they're starting at a disadvantage. So by having this healthcare facility on a school campus that is readily available to anybody in the community, we're starting to attack that problem too. That, you know, it's an interesting balance zone. I think Scott's noticed this and I've noticed this, and that is we're not saying to any singular area of our community that you desperately need help. What we're saying is there are services out there. We just want to help get them to you, and that's what we're trying to do.
And that's what we're talking about, the proposed community school in the former Leonard Wesson Elementary School property on Tallahassee South Side. 414-1234 if you'd like to chime in. 800-926-8809. Email perspectives at WFSU.org. We'll be right back. The magic of radio, particularly here on Perspectives, where people join the conversation all the time. And we just had someone else join our conversation on the proposed community school down on Tallahassee's South Side, Hochschild Leon Executive Director Courtney Atkins. Great to see you, Courtney. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful, Tom. Thank you. And thank you for having me on today.
Well, thank you for being part of this conversation, because you folks in Hochschild Leon were kind of given a critical task in this whole set up in trying to, and full disclosure here, do we have any Southside residents at this table right now?
Nope.
Nope. Do we have any African Americans here?
Nope.
Nope. Okay. So how do you get buy-in in a community which is predominantly African American and on the city's South Side if you don't have some kind of outreach program? And that's what you guys are supposed to do, right, Courtney?
That's right. And that's a big role that Hochschild's playing in this process. We've been through the South City Revitalization Council working in that community for about 2 years now. We've been able to get a neighborhood association started. We are in the process now, thanks to some funding from the county, we're doing a community health assessment, kind of a door-to-door assessment, asking residents everything concerning their health, their children, the built environment, their concerns about the neighborhood. And we even are asking them about, you know, their desire, what they would think about having a school like the one we're talking about today in the community. But you're so right. I mean, we have to hear what the people need and want, work with them. We have had many community meetings already, but we'll be having more around, you know, what they would like to see in the school. We'll look at the assessment, talk to the residents about, you know, what their needs are, what kind of services they'd like to see. I mean, I know from being in the community for a couple of years now that, you know, there are issues with quality child care, there are issues with jobs and workforce development, that sort of thing. Dental health, mental health. So we're hoping that this community school will, just like what Commissioner Ziffer was saying, will be able to provide those kinds of services for folks right there in the neighborhood.
At least, Gasvini, when it comes to providing those sorts of services, though, that one-stop shopping concept that we're talking about here, in the run-up to this program, talking to a friend of mine who teaches elementary school on the South Side. And she said, boy, but we need that in just about every school, not just one.
We do. That's absolutely true. It crosses all neighborhoods in our community, the needs that we have. But I think this is a great place to start. We want to hit our and make our community really healthy, and we have an opportunity here to bring some good things and to get children started off on a good foundation. And so it's very exciting for our community.
Let me just briefly address, and that way I can also give a big thanks to Dale Brill, his efforts at the beginning of this process and also helping develop our website for us. We brought together with his guidance a great deal of information when it came to healthcare, crime statistics, education statistics, whatever we could pull together, and then we overlay them on a map and look for the hottest of the hot spots in the whole city. And the hottest of the hot spots were the South City area and then over near Griffin Middle School. And so we're not in a position to try to do this in every school yet. I know that Superintendent Pons has indicated he'd love to do it in all the schools, but of course money's an issue. So we looked at where can we start. And we decided this was ground zero. And also there's a facility down there, Weston Elementary School, formerly Weston Elementary School, that is in the heart of that community. And why not go after an area that desperately needs us? There's potentially a facility. And then go from there and start to expand out to other schools.
And you think about the three areas. I mean, we already have a lot of the services for a community school in the Bond area. You have Smith Williams, you have Walker Ford, you have the Bond Health Clinic, as well as a school. So you've got a lot of those elements that are there. There's clearly a need around Riley Elementary School, but we think our biggest need right now is in what has been called South City, as a new term. Growing up in Tallahassee, we didn't have that South City, but the ULI, the Urban Land Institute report that came back on how to help that area and that census tract says that South Monroe is really a moat, for lack of a better term. The people that live on the east side of Monroe don't cross over Monroe. They don't walk over to other areas and cross over the other side. So a lot of people that would need services around Wesson, around, you know, Wallace Street, around Brighton Road, even Texas Street, they're not going to go over to Bond to get those services. It's difficult. It's arduous for them to go. So this that creates a food desert in that area, a lack of health care, and a myriad of problems that are affecting the entire census tract. By locating on Wesson Elementary, a community school, it'll solve a whole lot of problems in one place.
And I also know that evaluation is a really important part of this project as well. And so I would hope that we build a lot of good data about the positive impact we have from this project and the cost savings that we have. We know from the Federal Reserve Bank and the research they've done that investing in early childhood saves us about $4 to $9 down the road in savings in special ed, in juvenile justice, and lots of other needs. So if we can keep track of that, then hopefully we can build more of these down the road.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the big reasons the task force kind of looked at going through third grade, because we can look at those reading scores at that time and be able to do some of that evaluation.
Yeah, since that testing is already – well, since we're talking about getting input from the community, community activist Dr. Hollifield checks in here on line one. Hey, Doc, welcome to Perspectives. How you doing?
How you doing, Tom?
Oh, can't yell too much. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Very nice. Very nice. But let me get to the point, Tom, because some of this stuff I think is very important. Number one, I find it unfortunate that nobody sitting around that table participating in this discussion is black. Now, I grew up here in Tallahassee. I went to the segregated schools in Tallahassee, separate but equal, if you remember, Tom. And the problem that I have is that ultimately, this is going to be one more segregated school where poverty is concentrated. Nobody talks about the increasing segregation in public schools really across the country and here in Leon County as well. The schools are becoming increasingly segregated. And this new school will not address that at all. Matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It will be another segregated school where poverty is further concentrated. And then when you look at what's happening locally, there are cutbacks in services at all levels. You know, CHSP funding for many years is going down. The Leon County Health Department no longer is involved in prenatal care. And prenatal care, so far as the black community is concerned, is off the charts. Healthy Start funding locally is back, been cut more than half. So, you know, in terms of the political, you know, power structure, you know, represented around this table, I don't think these people are serious. I really don't. You know, for every, you know, if you look at the infant mortality data for this last year, there were 20 babies, infants, that didn't reach their first birthday. 20 infants. And 15 of them were black. And blacks are the minority in terms of population here in Leon County. But still, I repeat, there were 20 dead infants in 2014, and 15 of them were black. And the county, what is the county doing? They just gave the Red Hills Horse Trials $90,000.
Well, let me get some react here from our group as they respond to the points that you brought up there, Dr.
There isn't a single point that I can argue with Dr. Hollifield on. I think he's right about all those, which is why we're trying to do this. And I don't think he's wrong when he talk about the segregation that's going on in our school systems. I mean, I'm a child that was in Central Florida in the 60s and 70s when I went to school as a child. And that's when we really – you know, busing was implemented to try to break that. And I think that's a broader issue that has to be dealt with on the school board basis. But you're right, Dr. Hollifield. Prenatal care is so important, which is why we're trying to do this. We're trying to bring health care to a community that has it available, but even though it's only – crossing Monroe Street, that barrier is substantial. And so we're trying to do something here where we can bring health care, mental health care, dental care, food. It wasn't mentioned earlier, but at Evans High School, they're having difficulty with tutoring and after school. They sat down with the kids, what do? And they said, feed us. Tutoring tenfold in a very short period of time. Simple things sometimes, even though they're right in front of you, you don't see them. But Dr. Hollifield's right on so many different levels. But unless we do something and start to really try to solve the problem there where the issues are, I think we'll continue to just spin our wheels.
Okay. And Courtney Atkins, again, since this is kind of your bailiwick with Whole Child Leon, is to go into the community and say, okay, this can't be a top-down thing. Oh, these folks over here think this is what you people who live here need. You've got to do with those assessments and kind of build this from the ground up.
Absolutely, and Commissioner Ziffer's done a great job in that in creating the task force, and we have, you know, several residents from the South Side that are participating in that process. So while they're not at the table today, they certainly are part of the process, and, you know, there's a lot. We're still in the very early stages of this. I think the task force has only met three times. So part of the planning process and where we'll be moving forward is definitely being in that community, you know, having community meetings, hearing from the folks that live there, what they need. So, yeah, we get that piece.
And conversely, Commissioner Maddox, there are some folks, I'm sure, who will say, well, here is another Southside initiative. You've had them over decade after decade after decade of trying to change the circumstances for folks who live in that area, in Frenchtown, and everything. What has it gotten you?
Yeah, and that's a valid point. And first of all, I get along very well with Dr. Hollifield, mostly because I'm a blunt person and say what I'm thinking, and I think that he's the same way. So I appreciate that in him, and I think he appreciates that in me. Yes, the things, you know, some areas we've been able to make a difference. We've made a difference in Frenchtown. I don't think we've made a difference in Southside, in spite of a lot of effort. But the effort in Southside has all been around land use and public infrastructure projects, by and large part. It is not focused on education. And I think education is the key. And as far as race, I just don't think that poverty discriminates. And I don't think that hunger discriminates. And that if we have children that are hungry and have bad toothaches and they can't study because they're sick at night and they live in poverty, whether they're black or white or brown, I want to help them. So I think that's what this effort is about. What we did – and by the way, we didn't do ourselves any favors. We could have taken the Bond area where we've already got a lot of those services there, and we've already got – there's a facility there that has more than enough room and it'd be easy to do. We could have tackled the layup, but we didn't. We took the hardest case in Tallahassee. The hardest case in Tallahassee are the census blocks that are around South City, and we said these are the folks that need the most help. So if we can do it here, we can do it anywhere. And that's what this is about. And I don't know whether we'll succeed or fail, but I tell you this, we're going to try.
And I wanted to briefly address one of the points you made, and that is about promises in the past and not being able to follow through. One of the reasons they believe they've been so successful thus far in Central Florida was the major partners, which was the school system, healthcare provider, university, and a not-for-profit, was each one of them made a 25-year commitment to the program. Not 5 years, not 3 years, not 8 years, 25 years, which said to the community, this is not short-term. This is not a passing fancy. This is something that we're going to commit to and we're going to be here. And as a result of that, they've got the buy-in because they're going to be there. And then we're going to be asking the same thing from our partners here.
And the reason that Commissioner Ziffer and I are doing this together is in 25 years, he'll be 100 years old. So he asked me to be involved as well.
Well, actually, you know, some people may ask, why are city commissioners getting involved with this? And frankly, we just went through a fairly vigorous budget process where we ended up voting different ways on it than it had to do with a tax increase that for the most part went towards law enforcement because we're having needs to do community policing and we're spending a great deal of money on that. And the little bit – not a little, but the percentage significantly smaller that we could spend on children, that hopefully we create a situation where they don't go in those areas where we need that law enforcement, we're going to be so much better off and we'll spend so much less money. That's – I mean, I want to do it to help the kids, but I also want to do it because quite frankly, there's a fiscal impact on the Tallahassee City and the citizens through the property taxes that we can impact, that we can bring down as a result of doing a better job with our children.
Well, Lisa Gasvini, you already mentioned for every dollar up front that is invested here, you get better than a $4 return further down the road when it comes to things like law enforcement and other remedial services that are needed for that. You've also, however, got to get – and this is Courtney's thing again – but you've got to get, you know, community and neighborhood buy-in that, you know, this is something that – people can benefit from, your kids can benefit from, and it's not a threat. It's not being imposed from beyond. This is something for the entire community, not only in South City, but I mean community-wide to embrace. How do you do that?
Well, you know, everyone wants the best thing for their children. They really do. And I just know that if we have a space in that community where families are welcomed and they're made to feel like they're valued and that what they're doing in raising their children is absolutely essential, they will step up to the plate. You know, I've been involved in a number of early childhood projects where I have watched parents. The light bulb has went off. They've walked in and not realized it's important for me to talk with my child every day. You know, I don't remember anybody doing that with me, so I didn't know how important that was. I didn't know it was important to get down on the floor and talk and play with my child. And once they recognize what an impact that has on their child, they really step up to the plate. And so I think we have community members and we have families that will really value this and step up to the plate to make it happen.
Not every family has the luxury, particularly if it's a single parent family, the luxury of sitting down with their child every night or children and reading to them. One-on-one, because the vocabulary that you get from reading a book is substantially more than the conversation vocabulary you're going to get at the dinner table. Not everybody has that. And if we can have children in an environment where they can be engaged and challenged with the right colors, with the right reading, with the right books, with right elements within their lives that they may not get because households just aren't in a position because of different and conflicting issues, the child's going to be better off. Family's going to be better off. The community's going to be better off. And that affects all of us at this table. And as Commissioner Maddox said, whatever color your skin is, you've got an investment here. And we all as a community, as a city, as a county, as a region, need to be engaged in that.
You're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. A reminder, you can always find the program online at WFSU.org. Go to WFSU.org, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and click Perspectives because we archive past shows. Try to have the current one up within a couple, 3 hours after the program actually concludes so you can go back and listen to it again and again. We have to say farewell to Elisa Gasvini, who has another meeting to run off to. We thank you so much for your participation and good luck with the community school.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
You're also welcome to call 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 to give us your 2 cents on the proposed community school in the old Leonard Wesson Elementary School property on Tallahassee's South Side. We'll be right back. Well, for those of us who grew up in really rich environments where parents were reading and taking kids to different places, whether it was just out shopping or to something like a zoo or even a long car trip, it is hard to look at another way of growing up in which it's almost sensory deprivation. And you don't want to say it's deliberate and you don't want to say it's a racial thing or even a cultural thing, but too many people in our society grow up as little kids almost being isolated from the rest of the world, except for a very, very narrow sliver of it. And unless you undergo that personally, or you know some folks who have undergone that personally, it can be very difficult to say, oh, I know what that's like, and I know that there maybe are ways to turn that around, to give those kids who have been deprived of that kind of experience and those sorts of growing up things that everyone else seems to take for granted and what it means further on down the road. Does that make any sense at all, Commissioner Maddox?
Completely. And, you know, I grew up in a single parent home. And my mother was a teacher, so I was a latchkey kid. But when I look back at my upbringing, I was blessed because my mother cared enough to take me to the library and knew how to do that and had access to that and had a car and could do that. I started as a big brother when I was, gosh, maybe 18, 19, 20 years old. With a young man that later my wife and I took in to our home, and he's part of our family now. And when we started with him and his two brothers, they lived off Brighton Road, precisely where we're talking about today, precisely where. Okay, we talked about washing a car. They'd never washed a car. We were doing chores outside of the house. Why? Because they never had a car. We're talking about mowing the grass. They didn't know how to mow the grass. You know why? Because they never had grass. They never had a lawn. They lived in Tallahassee, Florida, 20 minutes from the Gulf of Mexico, and they've never seen the beach, and they didn't know how to swim. And they heated their house at night from the stove. Now, that's in the capital city of the third largest state. That young man today, he ended up an aviation bosun's mate in the United States Navy. He was on the USS Kitty Hawk, and he lives in Yokosuka, Japan right now and works for the Navy, and he's a success story. But there's very few of those when you start off in that environment. And it's I don't think people realize that that exists in Tallahassee. It is right here. It happens every day, every night. And we are such a giving community. We're an outstanding, overeducated community and a giving community. So I think we all have a responsibility to try to help children that need just a little bit of a head start.
Okay. And you see it every day in the various functions of Whole Child. Leon Courtney Atkins, of what this kind of sensory and cultural deprivation does for kids when they're real young vis-a-vis when they get older.
That's right. And, you know, that's what's really exciting to me about the population we are looking to serve in this community school, you know, birth really through third grade. I know from our work in South City, and while the results of the assessment aren't totally analyzed yet, I know we have 500 children between the age of zero and five in South City. We know that for child care is very expensive. And to have subsidized child care, the parent has to work. It's hard to get a job when you don't have anyone to stay with your child while you're looking for the job, or if you don't have those skills. So I'm excited to learn how many children are in homes with grandmother or mom in no kind of child care facility at all in South City that will, with this a school like this, will get those kids at a very young age interacting in a school environment with teachers, with parents having that support about, you know, learning how important it is to read to their child and how to interact with a child in the different developmental stages.
Which is the other part to this, and that is in a community school since parents or a single parent has an opportunity for their child to not only have care during the day but really good care during the day, it hopefully gives them an opportunity for perhaps some job retraining, for job placement, for an opportunity then to really do something at home that they can then in turn do even more for their child. I just wanted to give a plug here. If you want to learn more, go to Lift Our Kids, LIFTOURKIDS, liftourkids.org, and you can learn a lot more of what we're doing. Volunteer, become a part of this process, because the more folks we have involved, the better.
Okay, so as envisioned, you had also said that there was, even though it is in South City, our new term, Commissioner Maddox, it is not geographically constrained by that, that kids can come from other places?
Yeah, actually, Wesson sits between two census tracts and two neighborhoods, yep. Appalachia Ridge and South City. And while Appalachia Ridge, the median income, I think, is about $31,000 a year versus South City at about $12,200 a year, there are a lot of issues in Appalachia Ridge. The repeat teen pregnancy is high. They have infant mortality. Low birth weight. So there are issues there as well. So this school right now would serve, you know, both those areas. But I don't think we're far enough in the process to know if
– Right, whether we'll be able to expand beyond
yes.
that in this location. And, you know, when we're talking about parental involvement, just because you're poor doesn't mean you don't care.
That's right.
So we have a lot of parents that – in fact, care an awful lot about their children just as much as any other parent cares about their child. And they are yearning for this. They are looking for in the conversations that I've had in those neighborhoods, and I know that Whole Child Leon is systematically reaching out to people, but just anecdotally, the folks that I have talked to, they're yearning for this. This gives them an opportunity to, like Commissioner Ziffer said, to learn and grow at the same time their children are learning and growing. And isn't that what we want?
And the other part is for the school isn't only for the children and their education. Once again, the healthcare facilities for anybody that lives within that area, so they can utilize the services. So it may be a single person that happens to live in one of the apartments down there that doesn't have children but needs healthcare, has an abscess tooth, they'll be able to utilize those services as well.
All of this cannot be inexpensive. So where does the money come from for this?
Well, first of all, there's not a need for a whole lot of new money because we're doing all those things today. So there are programs from the federal, state, and local governments that address dental care, that address mental health, that address health care, that address the feeding and of children and senior citizens, that address daycare, that address after-school tutoring. What we're talking about doing is combining all of that in a school.
And what's been most gratifying to this point is we tend to try to do things and we live in our little silos. But every meeting we have more people coming that are willing to come to the table and recognize, okay, we need to work with you instead of compete with you. We can do this together rather than offering differing services. And as a result of that, I think we'll have far greater success.
Okay, which always seems to be a perennial problem here in Tallahassee. There is a multiplicity of organizations and resources that are spread out all over the map, but try to get them all coordinating their thing together, even if they're duplicating services. Sometimes that's tough. I mean, there are things like politics involved. We are a political town, right?
That's so true.
And I've heard that.
Yeah. That's the wild rumor on the street that I've heard.
And in this planning process, we have had the support of more than 10 or 12, you know, everything from TCC's Workforce Development, Children's Home Society, Lincoln Neighborhood Medical, Bond Medical. I mean, everybody's coming together.
FSU, FAMU, you name it.
Yeah, and this is helping them serve the clients that they have had difficulty reaching by having maybe a satellite office on this campus. So it's really been wonderful to see.
But think about the majority of this population is has challenges with transportation.
Yep. Oh, my gosh.
I had a conversation. We were talking about gun violence. And so the other end of this spectrum, we're talking about here planting a seed. So we're talking about when we got a tree that's already grown with gun violence. And my take on it was the governmental entity that has the most contact with the at-risk population are the schools. Everybody goes to school. So K through 12, you have a captive audience, and there's a transportation network that is set up. There are cafeterias that are set up. There's a lot of that there already. So instead of taking a transportation disadvantaged region and saying, okay, today you have to go find your services in location A and then B and then C and then all while you're trying to hold down a job and pay for your family – if you combine it all in a school, it makes it not only a convenient place for people to go, but then it also creates a synergy of if a parent is in a school spending time for whatever reason, whether it's to eat, whether it's to get health care, whether it's to get a tooth fixed, whether it's to drop off a child, it is going to lead to more involvement in the child's education. It's going to lead to volunteering in the schools, and it's going to lead to questions when you get home. Have you done your homework?
Right.
Did you go see the tutor today? And that's all positive.
Is part of this also giving the grown-ups, the parents in this situation, kind of a tutorial on how to access services? Because there's this great overblown, I believe, misperception out there that you're dealing with populations that really know how to milk the system.
And that's
yet I was in a line. And I won't tell you whether it was state, local, or federal, but I was in a line for a service provider a couple weeks ago, and there was an elderly gentleman in front of me, and he had waited also about 45 minutes to get to the service provider, and he made his case and was told, "Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. That isn't something that we do. You have to go to this other office across town. They handle that kind of thing. Thank you for coming." And I thought, my God. And yet this gentleman had waited so patiently to be told, "Oh, we don't do that sort of thing."
I was fortunate enough to have been drafted to go through a poverty simulation 5 or 6 months ago. An amazing experience. To really appreciate that if you don't have transportation, how difficult it is to get anything. First of all, getting around is difficult. The second thing, as you said, Tom, there's an assumption that people that have needs know where the needs are and that they're available to begin with. And that's just not true. And so there's that issue. I want to point out one thing because I'm sure there's some people listening and thinking about it. In Evans, the healthcare facility is in a facility that's on the edge of the campus so that if the students need to use it, they can get through the campus. There's a separate exit that is off a side street that goes into it for the folks in the neighborhood. So there's security issues that you clearly want to deal with. You don't want, you know, 100 people a day visiting a elementary school campus that don't belong there. So there are ways that we can do this to also protect the students, and we'll work through those as we go further down the road.
But this is going to be just a huge project.
Well, you know, you take on a little bit at a time. The most important thing now is we're trying to get a coordinator in place that can help us develop a real strong strategic plan and start to nail down these basic partners. You need the healthcare partner. You need the university food, you know, basic things. There are a lot of people that want to be involved, but let's get the partners nailed down. Let's get their multi-25-year commitment. And then I think we can really start to make some great changes.
So a lot of this information, of course, and we'll give another plug here for the website, which is Lift Our Kids. All right. That's all one word. And .com or org?
.org.
.org. Okay. And on top of that, you also then have a time frame. So even though we're still pulling all the piece parts together, do we have any sense of next steps and when and all that?
Well, what we started to talk about, first of all, from a and this was a conversation with the school folks, was probably start this with a birth through pre-VPK. And then each year add a year. And there are a lot of reasons to do that. First of all, it's a growing process. And also to put a third grader there for just 1 year and expect great results is probably not realistic. But to have a pre-VPK kid that then goes on to kindergarten, first, second, third, probably going to have good results. And then just imagine starting at birth. And the other thing is we don't have to do all this at once if we can start to stage it. In other words, if we could get healthcare out there now, or as soon as possible, let's do that. Let's start to implement things. But the most important thing is that multi-year commitment.
Whew. So where we go from here? What's the next meeting on this where the community could get involved and plug in on?
January 7th, we're having a presentation by Children's Home Society on how they accomplished this in Orlando with Evans High School and UCF and their partners down there. We have, as I recall, an agenda item next week where we're going to be talking about possibly funding some of this. So we're moving along.
Wow. Okay. So January 7th. And Gil, where's that meeting going to be?
That's going to be at City Hall in the Tallahassee Room.
Okay.
So 9 a.m.
9 a.m. It's a morning one. So if you need to take the day off and just pop in there and maybe.
And I tell you, when you look around the table at those meetings, Courtney alluded to this earlier, but you have almost everyone. You can't say everyone, but we have a significant amount of the organizations that touch anything to do with a child's life around the table or tables. So in my memory, I don't remember ever having that group of people together in one place. If nothing else, positive things will come out of those discussions.
It's always that networking thing too. Again, bringing these different coalitions and individual organizations and people together and say, oh, you do that? We do too. Well, is there some way we can partner or coalesce around one particular issue and make it more efficient and effective?
And you add, I mean, not just the nonprofit sector, which is vast and represented around that table, but you also have the city, the county. You have the school board. You have Florida State University. You have Florida A&M University. You have Tallahassee Community College. You have the hospitals. So you have a lot of people that aren't used to being talking about their mission all together, and it's helpful.
And the business sector is the next one we're going to be going after because we need to have them engaged because we're going to have, as a result of people being able to have childcare, opportunities for job training, for internships, for jobs. And so we need everyone in the community, and I don't care where your business is, you're going to get called.
Oh, and CareerSource Florida Capital Region is on that side of the street, so maybe they'll, you know, be able to plug in there.
Jim McShane's been to every meeting. They're thoroughly engaged.
Yes.
That's the most still stunning thing to me, and you're absolutely right that it is like two separate worlds on the east and the west side of Monroe Street. There's almost no connection.
It was as if it was a moat.
Yeah.
Right. But if you think about it, if you don't have a car and you're going and you tell somebody that lives on Brighton Road, or I don't know if you're familiar with the area, but Brighton Road that connects all the way through to Country Club. All right. So or that area, you know, Myers Park, Orange Avenue connects over there. If you tell them that because as the crow flies, they should be served by the bond community, that's a long walk. And in Tallahassee, you know, 75% of the time it's either really, really hot or raining. So other than a brief period of time in the fall and the spring where it's beautiful weather, that's a long walk. And for people that are working sometimes two jobs to try to walk over there to get service is tough.
And there's one other element of this that's a huge element that we've not talked about yet, but Commissioner Richardson on our commission and Commissioner Maddox on the county commission,
my cousin,
are working towards alternative housing, better housing, because we have a real housing stock issue in this area. And if you don't have a good place to live, that also has a huge impact on how you're able to learn in class. So I know they're working on the Orange Avenue Apartments, doing something down there, redeveloping so we have better housing, and looking at other areas too, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Well, such a thing can happen. And if you remember the old project that used to be up there on Macomb Street.
1010. Look at it today.
Yeah, boy.
Look at it today.
Commissioners Scott Maddox and Gil Ziffer and, of course, Courtney Atkins from Whole Child Leon, thank you guys for coming on to talk about the community school. Good luck with the project. We'll check back with you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Sawyer Vanderworth and Lydell Rawls taking care of business behind the glass today. I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, the real story on the man for whom the small Leon County community of chairs is named. We'll talk about that then. Take care.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.